Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, St. Paul tells the Colossians and us in the epistle this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend fathers and our new deacons in particular, dear faithful, the great experiment, depending on your perspective, has been a resounding success. A worldwide coordinated effort of social control, the biggest medical experiment in medical or human history, the mRNA injection, followed up with many boosters and additional injections. Well, it's working. People are starting to die. Intentional population control. Just 1 year out, most of the COVID sick are vaccinated, as they say. There's an uptick in disability claims, says a spokesman for a large life insurance company in neighboring Indiana, One America. They report as well that based on claims, working age Americans are dying in unprecedented numbers, a rise of a stunning 40% in deaths compared with the pre-pandemic levels. The CEO noted that 10%, a 10% increase, say once every 200 years, would be considered a catastrophe. But 40% in 1 year? No one says anything. Nothing to see here, folks. Undertakers throughout the world are doing a booming business, sometimes more than they can keep up with. Father McKenna tells me that Columbia University, a respectable liberal East Coast institution, extrapolating from the government-issued VAERS figures, estimates that 400,000 of the injected have died thus far. And for some reason, all of this past week made me think about the famous moonlight speech given by John the 23rd to a crowd that had gathered spontaneously in the Piazza of St. Peter's in the Vatican on the night of the opening of Vatican II, the fateful October 11th, 1962. John the 23rd said he was asking for peace, and then the usual bromides of faith, hope, and love, and lots of love. And then he said something very touching, actually. He said, "When you head home, find your children. Hug and kiss your children." I wonder if he knew that night that this council would be the destruction of the Catholic Church and thus of Christendom, because it is the role of the Church to provide social stability. She is the pillar on which all else rests. Oh, and as well, the destruction of how many children? Abortion, and now with the COVID injections. John the 23rd officially was a suspected modernist. That's what his file said in the Vatican, he told Archbishop Lefebvre once with a smile. And he is reputed to have been a Freemason, of the Rose Cross or Rosicrucian degree. I wonder if he was in on the whole plan. It's no experiment, mind you, but the careful unfolding of the communist revolution, the Great Reset, they call it now. Indeed, find your children, hug them, kiss them. More, it's Holy Family Sunday. Find your spouse, too. and your siblings, and your cousins, and your uncles, and your aunts, and your in-laws, and let there be no outlaws. Find them and hug them and kiss them. Today's Holy Family Epistle to the Colossians, the third chapter. This is a translation provided for the opening lines. You are God's chosen people, holy and well-beloved. The livery you wear must be tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You must bear with one another's faults. Be generous to each other where somebody has grounds for complaint. The Lord's generosity to you must be the model of yours. And as St. Paul says in another place, for the rest, brethren, the time is short. The livery, the uniform you wear every day must be kindness. Take the opportunity, whenever it presents itself, find the opportunity of saying some kind words. It involves very little in the way of self-sacrifice, Father Faber assures us, or even of effort. After all, some opportunity is always coming your way, especially for those with whom you live, your family. Why are we so often polite and well-spoken to others on the outside? And yet, when we get home, a Catholic tweeter recently tweeted, one of the most regrettable aspects of human nature is that we treat our loved ones with contempt while being on our best behavior before complete strangers. Kind words, at least this, they cost us nothing. Give them to your dearest ones. They save us, furthermore, from the mass hypnosis of the COVID crisis, which is a psychological and not a medical pandemic, with all of its attendant anxiety, and frustration and aggression. Kind words cost us nothing, but how often do we grudge them? Even if it does demand a sacrifice, a kind word pays us back right away 100-fold. It's not just a matter of your personality or your disposition, no. It's a matter of divine grace. We could not grind out even one sweet syllable without God's help. Indeed, it is the imitation of Christ which makes the sweetness of kind words flow. And with kind words, you get backflow at no extra charge. It returns to you again, that happiness you give someone else. There's nothing like it. Self is drowned in the blessedness of helping another. And remember, that's the key to happiness. Anything which chokes out self, it assures a pure and a heavenly happiness is to be welcomed. Kind words, they soothe our bad moods. They charm our cares away. They draw us nearer to God. How does that work? You can become kinder simply by talking your way into it, by saying kind things. Purity comes too with this as an excellent reward. Even contrition, Father Faber calls it a soft-heartedness towards God, comes with gentleness. The hard heart melts a little, and that leads us to repentance. Lastly, Kind words make us truthful. After years and years of fighting and grudges, we're not so truthful. But kindness is the greatest truth of all, because it is God's way of looking at things. That's his view on life. And his view is the true. We must be subject to it, and that entails a little humility on our part. The humbler we are, the more kindly is our talk. And that brings more humility in its wake. Kindness is the road to every virtue. And just think, you can literally talk yourself into that virtue. This poor world of ours seems to be coming to an end. But don't let your world end without doing some good before you go. Make your mark. Set something right. No reform, though, ever takes place without geniality. You can crush. You can eviscerate your adversary in speech. But convert him, you never will. Father Faber says, better it is to threaten hell very kindly than to pop off some biting truth about somebody else. It seems we must always have controversy in our midst. But let's work at least to make it to be affable, friendly, cordial even. Nothing can be done for God without it, after all. More plans fail, well-intentioned plans, because there's no geniality, there's no kindness, there's no gentleness there. You be genial, and you will find yourself, and others will, Christ-like. Oh, and you'll find your children, and when you do, remember, give them a hug and a kiss. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.